This is TabealPod.com coming to you from our studios high atop our courtyard across from the Emeli building in that new museum. This is Thursday, the 7th of February, 2013. On this date in 1815, Solomon II, the last king of Emeneti, died. In 1935, the board game Monopoly is invented. In 1964, the Beatles first arrived in the United States. 1986, Baby Doc flees Haiti and Paris, of course. 1990, the Central Committee of the Soviet Communist Party gives up its monopoly on power, clearing the way for Monopoly the board game to enter Russia, where it's now very popular, the Russian version for what I heard. 1992, the Maastricht Treaty is signed, leading to the creation of the European Union.
And in 2013, Mark Mullen is recovering from a cold.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You probably already knew that, but Matthias needed to let everyone know officially. Birthdays today are Charles Dickens and inventor of the steel plow, John Deere. We are Matthias Hooter and me, Mark Mullen, but also, at long last, Cameron Christensen, back from a bunch of traveling. Nothing we can say can be connected with any of our employers, past, present, or future, particularly Cameron. By the way, we want to check in on how things are in that place, which some say is in Georgia, others say is next to Georgia. We here at TabealPod.com don't get into such matters, but talk to us about Abkhazia.
Yeah, it was a fairly interesting trip. It was probably the longest I've been there and the greatest opportunity I've had to be off of the main highway, which has been recently repaved by with Russian money. I was all the way up from Pitsunda, otherwise known as Pichvinta, to as far out as Zemobargebi, and there's a very vast difference in the way that people live and in the amount of support that's being provided to different communities. One thing that I found very striking was the difference in the way that the administrative boundary line is set up, and the Russians have fully taken over, and now there's barbed wire, and it's all very formal. They have black glass, so you can't quite see exactly what's happening behind. They've got Russian intelligence officers who are kind of sitting there chatting you up.
Is this just on the other side of the bridge?
This is just on the other side of the Inguri. And now...
It used to be just a couple of shaved conscripts, just kind of lolling around.
And, literally, a tent. Right. And then, a portable room. But now they've got things kind of set up. The official information, or, to what extent I got it, is that there are now 13 Russian bases on the territory of Abkhazia, that there are about 3,000 Russian troops, and that their families are officially there. Because I know that there had been some question about whether or not the Russian families had come and seen how people were living and then left. And as I understand, the majority of these Russian families are living fairly segregated from the rest of the population. So I've heard that they have their own churches, for example, and other things. So there isn't much mingling with the local population. And it'll be interesting, I suppose, to see what the response will be from the local population, if anything. Another interesting thing I heard is that, I think you talked previously about how they're trying to open up three more official ABL crossings. And one thing that I had heard is that Unquab had made some fairly broad promises to the Mingrelian population in Abkhazia, and that he actually, part of the reason why he won the election was due to the Mingrelian population within Abkhazia. And for that reason, he had made a lot of promises to them, which he's now theoretically attempting to, or being stymied from, delivering on.
Promises like what?
I don't know the details about that, but I would assume that it's related to trade, freedom of movement, access to hospitals. I mean, you hear stories about people, they close now at 8, and you cannot cross the ABL, you can't cross the Inguri after 8. I heard stories about, people dying because they weren't able to cross the ABL and get to the closest medical services available to them, which would have been in, the Zugdidi area.
Huh, interesting. All right, well, thanks for that. We have recently heard that all is well with iTunes. You got any problems, let us know. Thanks to those posting on our forum, this dispatch in from the field, quote, TLG is down to 150 or so people, so the constituency is a lot smaller. The contact renewal process contract renewal process was a bit of a debacle as well, which is bad news. Teach and Learn is a fantastic program. If anybody wants to encourage the members of the Education Committee of the Georgian Parliament to reassess the depth of this program, email of the Chief of Staff of the Committee, Nino Maisudadze, is nmaisudadze@parliament.ge. Just tell her to forward your thoughts on to committee members, obviously Georgians, and Georgian voters. Georgian language comments will have more pull than TLGers themselves, worried about employment prospects, or the good old days. But good TLGers will be able to encourage enthusiastic former students or current students to write in, as well as family members and contacts. And remember that nice letters work better than mean letters. Find the email address of majoritarian members of parliament at www.parliament.ge.
I just wanted to clarify. I thought, is the program dying a slow death, or is it complete? I thought that it was ending, or is it just kind of petering out, or what's the word?
I don't know if anything has been said officially about it. I have not heard anything announced officially about it, but, you know, it's certainly much smaller now, and I think, you know, they could just not recruit anybody and not say anything about that. Why would, if they wanted to kill it, I mean, why would they announce that it's dead?
Sure. So, okay. No, I wasn't. I just was, yeah. That's but my I impression
have,
as well.
Yeah, I have not heard, but it seems to be, which is too bad because it was a great thing for Georgia. On other matters, if you'd like to comment or ask a question, go to beelpod.com or send us an email at beelpod@gmail.com. And like all responsible journalists in Georgia, we never source anything. My Georgian Journal and Kviti Spali third column this week is about the labor code and civil service reform. I've already received some aggressive emails about how confused I am. About how we need a little bit more clarity in civil service reform, and how that would be a good idea, and that amending the labor code to the disadvantage of small businesses would be a bad idea. On Tuesday, Prime Minister Bidzina Ivanishvili held a whopping 3-hour-long press conference to discuss his first 100 days in office. At the conference, BI announced he had heard information the UNM was attempting to win over Defense Minister Irakli Alasania. However, he spoke with Alasania, who insisted this isn't true. While the Prime Minister does not deny that Alasania could run for the post of president, he does not support his candidacy and instead backs Vakhtang Khmeladze, chair of the legal committee in parliament. Prime Minister was also asked to come in on Alasania's trip, where he was rumored to have spent some time with Mayor Gigi Ugalava's wife and lots of other very wacky stuff. I mean, it's not that he was asked to comment on that. He sort of offered those up. The quote is well worth reading. I mean, it's really, I mean, it's kind of like one of those, you know, gosh, there are all these rumors that Ivanishvili murders children in his basement, you know, but I don't want to comment on those because I'm just not that kind of person to comment on those rumors about the child murdering issue, you know, that is popping up everywhere, you know. Yeah.
But one highlight of the comment was that he said, well, you know, lots of my friends cheat on their wives, but it's kind of a personal thing. So I'm not saying that Alessandra does, but I'm not commenting anyways.
Yeah, it was really very, very strange. I mean, I think, you know, the one imperative of them getting a you know, getting some kind of PR firm back is like just so that there could be someone to tell him, don't do that. Right. I mean, I really have mixed mind on this because on the other hand, back, you know, UNM back in those days, everything was so slick and so smooth and so disciplined, you never had any idea what was going on. Now you know exactly what's going on in the Prime Minister's brain, but I don't know whether that's so.
Whether that should be public.
Well, that he's just clearly trying to sideline whom he thinks is his major competitor.
Right, but he's the Minister of Defense. So right. Like, if you say this guy is not fit for president, like, but he's fit to be the kind of, you know, highest commander
right,
of the army.
Like, you know, which is exactly like Okhorashvili when he was Minister of Defense, when everybody privately was sort of gnashing their teeth about him and knew that, you know, there was a heck of a lot of money being siphoned off, you know, and yet it was only very late in the day after there had been credible rumors about that forever that they were all like, oh, we're shocked to find, you know, corruption in the defense ministry. BI said that he will not attend the president's annual speech in parliament because he's not going to listen to, quote, not going to listen to Misha's nonsense, end quote. He put Gheorghe Margvelashvili, Minister of Education, forward as candidate for the post of first vice premier. This is the seat that Alasania held until recently. He also commented that Vano Medavashvili, the UNM Secretary General, is panicking because he was summoned to the prosecutor's office twice and feels threatened. He called Ugulava a coward because he refused to go in for interrogation. But this was interesting. What happened was that he was called by the investigative service of the finance ministry and told to show up there at a specific time that day. He's the mayor, after all, and said, look, you know, I'm a little busy. I'll be in my office at this time. Come by and we can chat. The investigative service last Thursday discovered a scheme by which the Tbilisi Sanitation Department kept 700 UNM party activists on the payroll.
That's confirmed? I mean, or that's rumor.
That's what they've said.
Yeah, investigation's underway.
Right, you know, the investigation's underway, and they announced it in the media, you know, as one does, you know.
Allegedly.
But yeah, I'm sure there's lots of allegedlies in there. But, you know, on the other hand, I mean, yeah, you know, wouldn't surprise me. BI said that Russian officials gave him a surprisingly warm welcome at the recent World Economic Forum in Davos, and that Georgia's relationship with Russia is making progress. However, he admitted it will not happen as quickly as he thought. Responding to accusations that people are often selected for posts on the basis of their personal relationships, BI said that while he prefers selection through competition, the public cannot change this system immediately since it has been going on for so long. However, he does not view this as a problem, provided it only happens occasionally. It was essentially the most unsatisfying non-answer ever given. Saying, like, you know, it's just a little bit. So if, you know, if you're a competent kid, is someone denied a job by some friend of a knucklehead, you know, like, look, it's not always, you know.
Yeah. I think his example was that he had two people that he wanted, like, to get some kind of position in the central government. And he said, well, but they were not hired in the end. So this is kind of the proof that it doesn't always happen.
Right. So it's not always,
no,
you know.
But if it happens, it's okay with
me. I was talking to somebody recently from a really fairly isolated part of Georgia, saying that the, you know, UNM, when it hired people, party loyalty was, you know, part of the deal. You didn't have to be a party activist, but you had to be somewhat loyal to the party, and you had to work for the party. But they were pretty competent people, and that they're all being replaced right now, which, you know, okay, that's happening. But that the people that are getting those jobs are not competent people, and that, it causes problems with services. I mean, that people have to go in and deal with these municipalities to get things done, and that there are people who just have absolutely no idea how to do anything.
When you speak about loyalty to the party, though, I mean, you're not talking necessarily about their agreement with the party's supposed platform and ideals, right? I mean, you're just talking about a commitment to say, like, we got you all the time.
The impression that I have, I mean, from what I gather from living here and talking to a bunch of people, is that, you know, to have a civil service job at the local level, you needed to be apolitical. And at election time, you needed to work for the party. You know, you would be told, you know, this and that needs to happen. There were lots of, you know, people who said to me that in ministries that they were pulled in, and they were told, look, we need to get lists of supporters, and, you know, and da 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 da. That sort of thing.
One example of this kind of nepotism issue, maybe, is that I heard that there's a decree from the Ministry of Interior that suspends the requirement of passing police academy for new policemen at this moment. So for the next few weeks, apparently you can become a policeman without passing, I don't know, some or all of the exams that you would normally need to pass. And it says, like, it's a decree with, like, a certain period for, like, 2 months or something.
We can sweep it all.
And the narrative was that some of the people they wanted to give low-level jobs, they didn't pass, like, these basic police exams. So they said, okay, like, let's not, like, torture these guys. Let's just hire them.
Oh, dear. Recipe for disaster. The government will create three funds. The Georgian Sovereign Fund, which Bidina said has been discussed with J.P. Morgan. The Georgian Youth Foundation, which will fund the study of young scholars, as well as the Private Investment Fund, which will be the partner for those Georgian citizens and foreigners who intend to implement investment projects in Georgia. Quote, this fund will be ready co-finance the projects from 25% to 65%, and we'll have $2 billion. Now, according to BI. Now, the interesting thing is, you know, whose money would that be? And he said some very sort of confused, well, of course it would be my money, but it wouldn't officially be my money. And, you know, that not what whose money would that be? But look, I mean, if he wants to do that, I mean, you know, who's going to argue with that?
But if he mixes his own money with, like, public funds, that makes things very tricky.
It does make things very, very tricky. And I think one of the, you know, one of the things that has been, that I've heard mentioned by business people here is that, okay, if you're funded personally by Bidzina's money or even by some state entity that has very close connections with, you know, with him, you know, how what does that mean for your competitors? I mean, you know, your competitors could get a little bit nervous if the, you know, the prime minister's personal cash is, you know, is involved somehow. The other thing was about the fund for young scholars. I don't know whose money that's going to be, but he personally, when he was funding a lot of stuff in Georgia, did not fund a lot of scholarships. You know, a lot on the Patriarch and on the Gold Dome and, you know, for actors and, you know, and that artists, sort of thing, yeah. And artists, but not so much for young people, you know, studying. And so, yeah, interesting what, you know, how big that will be, if it'll be a significant change, and why the significant change.
Actually, I mean, even the last two seem to be kind of replacing our, those two things already exist. I mean, there had been funds for supporting young scholars to study abroad, which was under the president's fund or something. And you know, maybe that was suspect, and I don't know to what extent that continues to exist. But then there's also the Georgian Investment Agency. I mean, and to what extent are these kind of...
The partnership fund,
Duplicating existing funds.
The partnership fund, I mean, in reality, it claims it has $4 billion in assets, which is a lot. Yes. I mean, it owns the railways and other things, so that's where it gets the money from.
So it has $4 billion in assets if it sells the railways.
If it sells everything it has, is also government-owned. But basically what it turned out to do is it does projects that were ordered by the political leadership and nobody else would do them, or it does projects that are implemented by some Georgian businessman who had a good connection with the ruling party.
Right.
But what it failed to do is to attract foreign investors by providing co-financing for projects.
Right.
And so I think that will be the challenge with the new fund. And another thing that is I don't really like is that Bidzina is a shareholder in JP Morgan, who is going to be the implementer. He owns $500,000 of stock, which is for him
$500,000 of stock.
It's not for him, it's not that much, but still it's an issue, I think.
Yeah.
Also, JP Morgan will collect a lot of overhead.
But if you have $7 billion, I mean, then you sort of probably you own a part of everything in the world. I mean, if you, you know.
Well, in his asset declaration, there's not more than a billion. But
there's not more than a billion?
I don't think so.
Really? BI plans to invest his own money in the private investment fund. However, he did not specify the amount. He only noted that he spoke with two Georgian millionaires who are also willing to finance it. According to BI, farmers will be able to take out 5,000 to 100,000 lari in credit from the agricultural fund with only a 7 to 8% interest rate, different from the 3 to 4% interest rate I'd heard quoted before weeks ago when the agriculture minister mentioned it.
But what are the average interest rates now anyway? I mean, they had been astronomical.
Well, they're still astronomical, and I don't think they changed a whole lot, but the idea was that the fund would bring it down so that they would,
Well, 7 to 8, as far as I understand, is already quite a ways down.
It's still, but significantly below. That's about at what OPIC, the American Investment Agency, you know, will fund at. And that's a lot better than any bank will offer here. After the conference, Fondo Medovashvili responded to BI's press conference saying that while it was supposed to be dedicated to the first 100 days of his government, he devoted 90% of his three-hour speech to the UNM. Fano said that although the prime minister spoke about goods becoming cheaper in Georgia, quote, the only thing that became cheaper and more available is drugs, end quote. We will we'll discuss that later. He does have a point, though, that, you know, they did spend a heck of a lot of time talking about the UNM. You know, it would be nice to, like, not talk about that anymore and talk about some other stuff at some point. Yesterday, the first spring plenary session of Parliament began with debates on several draft constitutional amendments, which, if passed, will reduce the authority of the president and his ability to dismiss and appoint the government. Debates grew into allegations and counter-allegations. UNM accused the new government of staffing official structures with their relatives, colleagues, and friends. UNM MP Tariel Londriadze accused the Prime Minister of putting pressure on him and his family, noting that the prosecutor's office decided to interrogate him only after he had joined the constitutional amendment process. He addressed Georgian Dream, and I quote, "I do not support the constitutional amendments because B.I. personally threatened me on television. He threatened my future, my children, and my wife. I put on the military uniform at the age of 14 and spent 20 years in the armed forces. I was in Abkhazia in 2004. I fought in 2008. And now, David Saganalidze should not be teaching me how to behave in order to look into the eyes of my children. You'd better wash your mouth," end quote. The statement yet led to quite a bit of yelling.
The, basically, though, these draft constitutional amendments are related to the fact that the president still has the power to dissolve parliament if they don't approve the cabinet, so after three times, right?
I mean, right, something like that. I mean, it's, you know, which is a significant power of the president and whatever else. I mean, same thing, frankly, for the government. It's the ministers themselves.
And another amendment, sorry, is to take out the location of the parliament out of the constitution so that the parliament could itself decide without a parliament without a constitutional majority where its location is.
We meet at my place tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it was that should not be in the Constitution. It really should not be in the Constitution. It was just one more little UNM fetish that they decided to put in the Constitution, you know. Parliamentary majority, mouthwasher Dato Saganalidze accused the Free Democrats of having UNM plants in their party and said that they must dismiss these members. A representative of the Free Democrats, Member of Parliament Giyad Saganashvili, responded to Saganalidze's comments saying that it is possible that the UNM agents are in the party. They have begun checking members.
And the Free Democrats are Alassania's party.
Right.
So this is you can see this as kind of a fight between Bizina's Georgian Dream people and Alassania's Free Democrats.
Right. Saganalidze later apologized for making the statement publicly without first having talked to representatives of the Free Democrats. BI said that he shares Saganalidze's suspicions. The full quote is worth reading on Tpilpan.com's site. But, I mean, really, this whole thing is just creepy. Like, they're like, look, you know, and especially, you know, Saganashvili's going, it's like, how are they checking this out? Like, you know, they call him up and say, listen, yeah, you know, they put them in a little room, single light bulb, they're sitting on a stool, you know, like, you know, okay, you know, Mr. Khajapuridze, you know, like, are you a spy? You know, I mean, how does this work? You know, like, we noticed that your cousin was at this UNM rally over in Caspi, and so what's the, you know...
Well, I'm sure they have tabs on everybody's phone. I mean, they can just, like...
Even Khachapuridze's phone,
yes.
You know? I mean, I don't know.
Especially,
you know?
Especially
as we discuss later, even on the minister's phone.
I mean, it's just, I don't know, I just... This is how, you know, this is always how it starts, right? There's spies in the ranks, and we've got to, you know, we've got to call them out, and I don't know.
We've got to purge.
So... On Friday, Chairman of the Defense Security Committee, Irakli Sessiashvili, said on Eka Kvesi Tadze's show on Channel 1 that during the electoral campaign, UNM was trying to plant thousands of agents in various parties in the Georgian Dream Coalition. After the elections, UNM left these people on their own. They're now trying to prevent themselves from being revealed as UNM plants.
So, like, this is just this random guy still, like, sitting in the party
headquarters. He keeps calling his secret, you know, master, saying, like, you know, what am I supposed to do? The line's dead. There's nobody there. Like, you know, here I am, you know, sitting in Akhali Sopeli being a spy in the, you know, Free Democrats, you know.
This just brings me that back, though, to my original thoughts, though, about, like, are we talking about loyalty to individuals? Are we talking about loyalty to party platforms? Are we talking about ideology? Are we talking about, you know, personal threats being made to people or incentives being provided to people? I mean, how are they get? What makes someone a UNM person forever and ever, you know?
I think it largely has to do with agreement for economic policy. I mean, generally, that's been what's motivated UNM and Free Democrats. Supporters, and, you know, let's never. Yeah, just kidding. I mean, no, I think, you know, look, I don't know. There's teams, and you join a team. That's what you do. You know, I mean, I think that people have many different reasons for joining those teams. But I think, you know, what's even weirder is what this means about party membership. It just shows you how, you know, you could like the idea of that in most countries and say Western Europe and in the United States, a little ridiculous, like a bunch of, you know, Republican sleepers going into the Democratic Party or whatever. It's just, I don't know, it's sort of illogical and weird. And here, you know, party membership is a really big deal. And it's like, oh, you're a party member and you've got your party card. And that illustrates, you know, loyalty and, you know, a degree of loyalty and trust that's, you know, powerful and important. And so a UNM plant goes in there. I mean, you know, like, I don't know. It just, it seems like a weird thing to, like, you know, to care about.
Do you pay dues as a party member?
Not really. I think theoretically, yes.
But well, I
think it's the other way around, actually.
How much do I get for a year party membership?
Okay. At a meeting of IDPs, Vano Medavashvili said, quote, "We cannot watch this government for 4 years. We'll restore everything in about 6 months as soon as we return to power," end quote. He asserted that parliamentary elections are not the only way to attain power. Quote, "There are various ways to do it. Real public monitoring, the weakening of state institutions, and the winning of support of the people," end
quote. The weakening of state institutions.
Exactly. Woohoo. The BI responded by saying, quote, "Medavashvili is inventing stories about an economic crisis. We have decided to ignore these statements. We will not play ping pong with them anymore."
Ping pong, interesting reference, but that's actually a very ominous statement. Real public monitoring, okay, the word monitoring coming out of Vano's mouth is, you know, anyway ominous, but the weakening of state institutions, and he's talking about the purposeful weakening of state institutions by members of parliament as well as UNM supporters throughout the country.
You know, I mean, if it helps, state institutions are already pretty weak. I don't know. I mean, you know, who knows what he was saying? I mean, first of all, this is in translation, and I don't know. I mean, what they're working on doing, I'm not really sure. I mean, let's hope that the cell phone recordings of comments that people people make continue, and we monitor this.
And that Vano continues his public monitoring.
Exactly, the Vano Medavashvili, the public monitor, you know, keeps waving the flag. On Monday, UNM said that it's ready to support the constitutional changes initiated by the majority, provided that they agree to include the constitutional amendment that Georgia will integrate into Euro-Atlantic structures. UNM MP Dato Bakradze said that they wish to increase the constitutional quorum to 3/4, which is necessary in order to have a normal dialogue with the majority. Bakradze said that this would eliminate the so-called poaching of one or two deputies via blackmail and pressure. BA called this proposal, quote, dull, saying that, quote, the majority does not intend to haggle with the minority on this topic. You know, okay, first of all, like, haggling is what you do in a parliament, okay? That's the, you know, first thing. And so I disagree, because there should be lots of haggling. Second of all, you know, that there shouldn't be, you know, blackmail and pressures on MPs. I mean, listen, anyone who happened to be floating around February 6, 2004, when they first amended the Constitution, that was done purely through pressure. And really, this was the old parliament. This was Shevardnadze's parliament that passed those constitutional amendments. And ever since then, I mean, when they had the constitutional amendment, they didn't care. And now all of a sudden, you know, funny thing, the UNM finds, you know, thinks that it would be a really healthy thing for democracy for there to be a 3/4 majority to amend the Constitution, you know, which is just, I don't know, really appalling, it seems to me. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but the UNM saying, you know, Dato Bakradze himself, you know, who amended the Constitution at the behest of his masters, you know, in the executive so many different times, you know, not caring at all what the public or the opposition had to say about it. You know, sorry for that little tirade there. But, you know, I mean, come on.
No, I think you bring up, like, a really interesting point. And on the one hand, you can look at it in terms of them being hypocrites. And on the other hand, you can look at it in terms of, I think, the way that the national movement was thinking at the time between, like, 2004, 2007, let's say, was that they were actually attempting to build state institutions and have, you know, government control over the Georgian state. And so what they did was they kind of modified all of the modified legislation in a way that allowed them to make or push through changes without having to have these public discussions, because there were existential threats that they believed existed. Russia, you know, the occupied territories, Ajara earlier. And so now they feel like maybe they've reached a certain level where they can have these democratic or more democratic discussions, but
they lost the elections.
Exactly. I mean, it's just, you know, sometimes there's coincidence.
Okay, fair enough. All right. Interior Minister Irakli Kharibashvili discovered audio tapes of his conversations and video footage showing the private lives of famous people in the Ministry of Internal Affairs. Kharibashvili said, quote, "We are not going to publish these files, but certain individuals will be questioned very soon," end quote. Minister also mentioned that statistics on crime do not indicate an increase and the situation is under control. He presented a draft of the ministry's 2013 strategy, a compilation of its reform priorities, which include depoliticizing and restructuring the ministry, protecting human rights, anti-discrimination policy, establishing community-oriented police, and increasing accountability. Great. What about fighting crime, which anecdotally is on the rise?
Last week, the Ministry of Interior presented a new code of conduct for the police, actually, which I heard, sets that policemen cannot smoke and, you know, have to be always very polite, and apparently also shouldn't use their lights anymore all the time if they're not, like, on a call. I don't think it said anything about using the speaker and telling people in a traffic jam to go faster.
Good enough, come on. Hey, you know, I mean, really, yeah, those squawkers need to go. That's fantastic.
But also on the term of regarding the monitoring of calls, TI put out a report this week about freedom of the internet and about who controls the telecoms sector and companies in Georgia. And you can find it on the TI Georgia website. I hope it's an interesting read. But basically, in terms of surveillance, the new government doesn't really seem to have changed the problem that we had in the previous government, which is that the Ministry of Interior has direct access to all the infrastructure of the mobile operators and internet service providers. So you can't have any court oversight because there are people in the CUDI and, you know, in these departments that just open their computer and can, I think, monitor whatever is going on of whomever they want to listen to.
And so what should happen for that to happen?
Well, the companies need to, you know, say, okay, we're going to comply with the law, which says you need to have a court order to do that. And they could just get rid of the equipment and, you know, bring it back to the Ministry of Interior and said, here's your stuff.
And so why are they not going to do that?
I don't know. I think, you know, telecoms don't like a fight with the government because they depend on regulators and kind of the cooperation of the government on many things. But it's kind of a problem. And one other issue is that some of the telecom companies are owned by people who I think are fairly close to the previous government, such as Caucuses Online and the minority shareholders of Beeline are hiding behind some British Virgin Islands post boxes.
And literally physically hiding, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're the same people, the same companies and the same individuals that own Rustavi 2, the Tbilisi minibuses, the you know, GMC restaurant group, the... Et cetera. So,
another anecdotal thing about the police, I feel like I've noticed a lot more people being pulled over lately. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but
certainly not on seatbelt violations.
I don't know why they're being pulled over, but there's been a lot more. It just seems like police have a lot more people on the side of the road these days.
For a while, right after the elections, when there were the first stories about crime started showing up, there started to be foot patrols on Rustavelli, but it only lasted for about a week or two, and now no more. So hope they'll show up again. I met with Alassani in the Defense Ministry. Prime Minister had a video conference with Georgian soldiers in Afghanistan, thanked them for their service. After the meeting, Alassani has said that, quote, in 4 years, we will have an army that will be compatible with NATO and our partner countries. Yes, and for all of the talk of, you know, NATO integration under the national movement in the previous regime, I mean, in reality, Georgia's troops did not move particularly quickly towards actual operational integration, at least according to the advisors, from NATO countries that I spoke with. There was sort of a feeling that the ministry didn't really do very much or didn't really care very much about the actual operational aspects of NATO integration. On Tuesday, UNM Member of Parliament Marika Vedrilashvili submitted an official statement to the Chairman of Parliament declaring that she is leaving the UNM, although she did not specify a reason. Parliamentary Majority Leader Dato Bakradze claimed that Vedrilashvili left the minority due to threats and political pressure. MP Gheorghe Pekishvili has also left the UNM.
I think it's very telling that the UNM is the one providing reasons for why these people are leaving and not the people themselves.
Yeah.
Well, but they're not going to say there was a paycheck in the mail and like I reconsidered my future career.
No,
but
what it tells is that the UNM is losing people and that the UNM wants to provide a reason for why they're losing people. And then they're maybe, who knows, maybe they're making something up about all of a sudden this pressure being put on them. But if someone doesn't come out and say, like, yes, pressure was put on me and that's why I'm leaving, then, you know, the party, we're just looking at what the party
says. Pressure was put on them and they said, don't say pressure was put on you. You know, I mean, you know, could happen.
Yeah. So they just left. She left the party and is doing what?
Georgian dream.
Independent, quote, independent MP.
But they're still left of the 100 votes, the two-thirds majority.
Yeah.
I think they're at 92, 93 now.
Yeah.
So
pretty close.
Yeah.
So Shatbetishvili, Kacha Dagani, Apata Gibladze, and three additional members of the Labour left the Labour Party. According to their statement, they will establish a new opposition political party. Shalbanatilashvili, colorful leader of the Labour Party and Tpilpot.com's favorite, released a statement saying that BI, with all his resources, is trying to disintegrate and discredit the disobedient Labour Party.
Did he just take all of the Labour Party's members?
I think so.
All four of them.
Well, I don't know. I think that in Dedo Pliskato there's like four old guys. It's, you know, I don't know. Or like, you know, Duchetti.
But they don't have any seats, so they're, you know. Like,
yeah, I don't know. But, you know, let's just keep Shalva in the newspapers as long as we possibly can. Tbilisi City Council members Zaza Gabunia and Jaba Samushia left the Christian Democratic Party movement.
And went where? Do we know?
I don't know. Maybe they're hanging out with Soso and then Kakanpata. Who knows? I don't know. What did I hear about Gheorghe Targamadze recently? That he said he announced, I don't know, something. Like he was going to be a bishop or I don't know. Did you hear anything about it?
Really?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Maybe a TV host.
A TV host, maybe?
No, I don't know.
I don't know. Something.
But maybe he's hiring people a year or so. Like,
wait, let's have that be our question for the end, you know?
Yeah.
But
let's just have a quiz question. What is Targamadze?
The Imedi hired Khukhashvili, self-proclaimed Bidzina close advisor. And
right, the guy who's hanging around with all the businesses.
Yes,
when they come up
so he's going to have a show on Imedi now.
Oh, God. Yes. Oh, no. So, okay, we understand what's happened to Imedi. Zaza Sinauridze, a UNM member of the Sacrobulo, has left the city council. Guliko Zumbadze, a Georgian Dream Coalition member in Sacrobulo, said that her party will be in a majority on the council in a couple of months because several UNM members on the council decided to join the Otsneva Coalition. Currently, there are 47 members of the city council. 17 of them are members of the Georgian Dream Coalition. On Saturday, BI criticized the media. Quote, "You journalists think that you have the right to do everything and work, and your work cannot be questioned. I ask you, I return the question to you and remind you that you continue your propaganda. You want to make the you want to keep the people surrounded by lies, and I ask you both, you are young people, this does not apply to your cameramen because they only film, to pay attention, not to serve lies." End quote. This was directed primarily at Rustavioti for raising the issue of possible rift in the Georgian Dream Coalition. You know, like, this kind of, like, you know, wagging your finger at journalists is never, I mean, on camera, is never really a wise policy for a prime minister.
No.
You know?
They also didn't invite Tabula to the press conference and kicked them off, like, their press distributing email list. And that's also not nice. Like, there's, like, maybe, you know, half a dozen outlets that are critical/UNM affiliated, And to not invite them is just not nice. Well, it's just the same practice that we saw before.
I know the UNM did that, and the UNM and the government and all state officials, they had a list of who are our guys and who are not, and they wouldn't invite anybody who is at all critical for years. It was incredibly annoying. There was the don't interview TI people, for ages, and it was. I think it was around 2009-10 that they realized that was not such a good idea in the long term, and they went back on that. Hopefully these guys will be a little quicker.
I think people should look, though, also at, like, back in 2006 when Kacha Bendukidze was the state minister for reform coordination, and the way that he gave when he answered questions to journalists, if you remember, him yelling, like, don't yell at me! Don't yell at me! Don't yell!
he was pretty aggressive.
He was super rude.
If it matters, he was also aggressive to, like, the World Bank representative and all his friends and everybody else, you know. So it wasn't just young journalists.
But I want to know, it was the two journalists were females, and he didn't want to insult the man because he didn't want to get into a fight or something?
I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah. But yes, they were female journalists. Tomorrow, Misha was planning to deliver his annual State of the Nation address, State of the Union address in Parliament. However, it was delayed. Chairman of Parliament, Dato Zubashvili, said that the majority thinks it would be better if Misha delivers his speech after the Parliament adopts the constitutional amendments that make him less powerful.
So maybe they could write in a law that he's no longer allowed to give a national speech to
the Parliament. And by the way, yeah, put a little addenda, signing statement. Yeah, oh boy. Prosecutor's office summoned UNM Member of Parliament Georgi Gviniashvili, former Tbilisi city prosecutor, twice in for questioning regarding the murder of Buto Robakhidze, man who was shot by patrol police in November 2004. Gviniashvili refused to go to the prosecutor's office for interrogation, but said he's prepared to answer any questions at Parliament.
That was the young man that they said that they planted a gun on afterwards, if I remember correctly, that he was shot basically out in the open, right?
Yeah.
And then they planted a, well,
yeah, it was pretty, I mean, this was one of those questions in which there was serious wrongdoing and absolutely no investigation done, because it was, you know, the Interior Ministry, and we're not going to mess with that. National Forum chose not to merge with Georgian Dream.
Oh, no.
Good.
Another bad news about great opposition parties.
Oh yeah. Guba Sanakidze and his multitudes, leader of the party, said that representatives of National Forum will become a separate faction parliament. Oh, my God. Do they have enough for a faction? Or no, faction is six now. It's not ten anymore.
Six.
I don't know. The problem is with, like, all these factions that are basically in the same group, like, you have special rights, and it kind of is a bit annoying.
It is annoying and slows things down. It makes things complicated. Well, I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I guess this gave Gubaz a more clear path to being a millionaire.
I remember once, Mark, you gave me a postcard that perhaps you didn't want, which is why you gave it to me, but it said, quote, "I love the noise of democracy."
It's true. But I love the procedure of democracy. But the slowness of the procedure of parliament can be a little, Tamar Chugashvili, former chairwoman of GILA, will continue her career at the state chancellery. According to Chugo, her position has not yet been decided, but reports say that she'll work as an advisor to the prime minister on issues pertaining to human rights and democratic reform. On Saturday, a group calling itself the Javakh Diaspora in Russia released a statement demanding that Samtskaya Javakheti be declared a free economic zone. According to the statements, locals in the region want foreign investment. Statement reads, quote, "There is vast potential, namely international railway lines, the existence of cheap labor force, and proximity to strategic cities such as Batumi Port," end quote. Misha said that announcing Samtskaya Javakheti as a free economic zone is part of the plan against Georgia. He said, quote, "They want to create a demonstrative unit in Javakheti at all costs, and the idea of a free economic zone is announced in order to create a single administrative unit and demand its autonomy and independence from Georgia once it's established," end quote.
The anti-Armenian card has been played a few times in recent weeks, which I don't find a very good idea by both sides. I don't know.
There had been this Javakh group, actually, that was somewhat active in 2006, and then this man was just recently released, right, from prison.
Yes.
We reported on it about a month ago or so. But it's interesting to me that they consider the fact that they want to have investment to be...
Look, the Jabhat diaspora in Russia is a KGB front, and everybody knows it. Whoever they are, I mean, I've never heard of them, but, you know, that's this little...
But you know that they're a KGB front.
I know that they're a KGB front. I've been here long enough that I know they're a KGB front, right? But, you know, that, like, this is this little sort of thing that gets tossed back and forth, and it's just some sort of little sort of needle. But as you say, the more important thing is, you know, why is someone, the president of Georgia, commenting on this complete non-entity in Russia, no less? You know, it's not coming from anywhere here. And, I mean, I think that that really does, you know, that becomes a bit of an anti-Armenian card just by him responding at that level. I mean, they could have done some little press release or something like that. It elevates it to a level that it doesn't deserve to be elevated to.
And very interestingly, Armenians do pay attention to these kinds of comments, too.
Absolutely. Armenians in Armenia as well as Armenians in Georgia. About 20 people recognized their cars among vehicles put up for auction by the Ministry of Internal Affairs.
Yeah, I also think I saw my Ferrari on that picture.
Yeah, I want it back. Yeah, me too. Absolutely. Me, my too, my Skoda. According to lawyer Irma Chikatova, people say their cars were illegally taken from them and they demand their return. Quote, previous government used to force detainees to sign over their property, including cars, to law enforcement agencies or some other private individual, which were later signed over to the Ministry of Internal Affairs, end quote, Chikatova said. Prosecutor's office launched an investigation into the case. Chair of the Parliamentary Committee for Human Rights, Eka Beselia, said that every person who has had their property unlawfully seized by the previous administration should have it returned to them. In addition, the officials who seized the vehicles and used them should be questioned. Yeah, this happened. You know, let's be real. This happened, and so let's have some investigations. On Monday, a Georgian delegation met with Russia's chief sanitary doctor, Antibil Padafen's favorite, Gennady Onishenko. Head of the Georgian delegation, Levon Davitashvili, must be a very patient man, said that Georgian wine may return to the Russian market as early as the spring. One bottle will be expensive, costing about 300 rubles. Onishenko said that groups of Russian specialists will visit Georgia in a week to discuss Georgian wine supplies for the Russian market.
And 300 rubles is ten bucks.
I think really? We need some
ten,
more bread.
Ten bucks? No, it's wine.
Oh, I'm sorry, I interrupted your Russian.
No. I just like, you know, it's just, you can just see to be like, oh, we need more tests and we need like... Yeah,
no, but you know, as you reported last week, Borjomi was partly sold by... Patar Katsishvili's family to Mikhail Friedman, a Russian oligarch who also is the guy who owns the majority of Beeline. But it could be, you know, that now that it's partly Russian-owned, it's less of a problem to export it to Russia.
Could be.
And the Russians like their Borjomi, too.
And they like Georgian wine. It's just that, you know, as Okrashvili said, well, you know...
Yes, that's not recall.
Yes, okay. Anyway. TBC Bank temporarily seized some 150 Tbilisi minibuses because the minibus company was late on loan payments. This was connected to a strike of minibus drivers who demanded better working conditions. There's a great infographic by Jumpstart that explains the working conditions of minibus drivers. Check it out on feradi.info, feradi.info. Yeah, I mean, that was great, but I will say that it was, you know, I mean, I think it's good to talk about what it's like to be a minibus driver, but there's a lot related to the minibus issue other than just the minibus drivers themselves, because... you know, how that whole thing was, the minibus privatization was handled was pretty appalling. But also, you know, should there be minibuses? I mean, why don't they just increase the bus system, you know, improve the bus system itself? I mean, there have been a lot of people...
In some streets you might not be able to
fit a bus, that's
bigger
true.
Buses, but...
The other, you know, when I lived... I think I've mentioned this before. When I lived in Russia, the whole point of the minibus was that the minibus stopped at every third bus stop. So it went faster. So that was the whole point. And now, if you have the minibus stopping at the exact same places as the bus on Rustaveli and getting in everybody's way, and then, you know, one bus trying to pass another bus, taking up two lanes, and then the minibus going in front of another minibus, I mean, it makes no sense if they're just stopping at the same
stops. If they're express, you know, to move faster, you know, then fair enough. I mean, having a city bus go all the way to, you know, Guldani or something like that, you know, fine.
And at least they've kind of fixed the system, I think, that you can't hail a Marshrutka at any
right.
kind of point whenever you want, so that you have them stopping every 10 feet because
yeah,
someone
right.
doesn't want to get
yeah.
out at one, you know.
Yeah. I think the tram idea that Tbilisi City Hall had to build a tram across Tbilisi, which was like a cool idea.
Which would be fantastic.
Died, I think.
You know, it's really, and if that's died, it's sad. I mean, frankly, it's not as if Ugulava talked about it, but nothing ever happened as far as I can tell, but
that's some studies done. And some,
but it would, I mean,
yeah.
that would be if there was, you know, going from down Vake, you know, all the way through to, you know, somehow to
Freedom
to,
Square,
you know,
like
Freedom
7 minutes.
Square. Oh my God.
Traffic jams.
That would just be, you know, heavenly. What about pulling out the all the stations, the railway stations in the middle? That, you know, remember they were going to use all that real estate for
yeah,
the...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that's really happening for the time being. But I saw
that was a terrible idea, in my view. I hope that it doesn't...
Yeah, but the funicula up to Tatsminda seems to be working now.
That's right. That's what everybody says. I've not taken it
that
yet.
Probably alleviates a lot of traffic in the city.
Misha presented candidates for ambassadors to several countries, reportedly Natalia Savanadze, Belgium and European Union, Zaza Kandalaki, Hungary, Timur Janjali is nominated as ambassador to Latvia, Konstantin Zaldastanishvili to Austria and OSCE, Archil Gegeshidze to the U.S., Zal Gogsadze to the Czech Republic, Mikhail Ukleba to Ukraine, Carlo Sicharalidze to Rome, and the other international organizations based in Rome.
The Vatican.
We might remember.
The Vatican, but
yeah.
also WFP, World Food Program, is in Rome, I think.
Oh, really? Yeah, basically there was the request, what, that 17 ambassadors be withdrawn, as well as three, appointees to international organizations. That was the Georgian Dreams request. And then I guess they said that they would push through the appointments of... allow for Misha to make these reappointments without any problems. So.
Former Minister of Foreign Affairs Salome Zurabashvili made a statement on Facebook about the mass settlement of Chinese people in Georgia. She wrote that France is also concerned about Chinese migration because, quote, Chinese people do not die and they reproduce quickly.
That's what she wrote, or she said
That's what she wrote. She wrote, as I understand it, she wrote, quote, despite the fact that France has a large migration rate from former African colonies, the immigration service is more concerned about Chinese migration because it has its own specifics. Chinese people don't die. A passport or ID is used by several people from relatives who can tell the difference? ! When you think that 10 came, really there might have been 100. Can you imagine how many would come if we said 126,000 could come to us? End quote.
But I don't want to defend...
The person works in the UN, you know? I mean...
Yeah, but there was always... I mean...
But what, they are hard to tell apart?
No.
What are you talking about?
If you go to many European cities, it's very difficult to find Chinese cemeteries. And... there have been cases where if a Chinese person who was like illegally employed in some restaurant or something died, that they would kind of manage to get rid of the body somehow and bring in somebody else under the same passport.
Did you like her Facebook statement then?
No. It's not.
I'm kidding.
Statement.
So, yeah. Anyway, she has a very senior position in the UN relating to Iran
right now.
Yeah, dealing with Iran.
But
can she tell them apart?
I don't know. The Iranians, they all sort of do look the same. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Is she only French citizen?
I don't know. Unbelievable. But, you know, also, like, there are no Chinese people in Georgia. Like, a tiny, tiny number.
We reported a few weeks ago that there's this plan to build this Olympic village up at Tbilisi Sea, and the story has been that this is built by a Chinese company and that it will be a new Chinatown that they're bringing Chinese people. And we corrected this, I think, also on the podcast, that the plan is to bring Chinese investors to build it, and it would be built for whoever wants to live there, but not for Chinese people. And I think right now people are like... they're talking about this alleged Chinatown and that 200,000 Chinese people will all of a sudden show up in Tbilisi, but
it's totally ridiculous. And Salome Zurabashvili should be reviled for, you know, making those goofy comments. On Tuesday, 10 South Korean citizens protested outside the state chancellery demanding help from BI. They carried posters that read, quote, protect foreigners' rights, swindlers leave the country, conduct a reinvestigation, restore justice, unbiased court. Is Georgia a swindler's country? End quote. Oh, that wasn't one sign that said that. Those were all things that had never done. As Chaho Parker said, in 2007, he wanted to invest $8.5 million U.S. dollars in the construction on Barno Street, but was deceived by former high-ranking officials. Read the original story on Interpress News for full and dramatic details of, you know, who caused problems for Mr. Park.
Wait, did he says who it is?
Yeah, he gives names and the whole bit as to what's going on.
They're
like, you know, they're former senior officials and they, you know, went up the food chain and nobody really cared. I mean, you know, all the way up the food chain. On February 7th, Stalin's statue was vandalized in the village of Akura.
I love that story.
The statue was removed and then painted pink. The locals learned about the incident in the morning and presumed that the UNM did it. Of course. The statue was unveiled on December 21st, 2012, on Stalin's birthday. An employee of the Kaspi municipality, in a related story, says he was fired for not drinking a toast to Stalin. Yeah, so any further details on the pink painting?
And you're still not a fan of more labor protection?
No, I'm not a fan of more labor protection, but I think, first of all, with the Stalin statues, I think Georgia's relationship with Stalin is important, and people should think about it and question it and understand it, and there should be dialogue about it. I don't think all these Stalin statues are important. I don't think that they should be removed at 2 o'clock in the morning against the wishes of the residents, and I don't think that they should be, you know, put up again, you know, against the wishes of the families of people murdered by that murderous, you know, horror. All right? But painting a Stalin statue pink,
cool.
I can respect that. You know, I really...
They should glitter him.
Just a mustache.
Paint his mustache. Exactly. I think that's fantastic. Okay. Former governor of Shchedrin-Kartli region, Mikhail Kareli, will return to Georgia and begin a legal battle to prove his innocence from whatever it is he's accused of. Kareli said in a statement, quote, "The current situation in Georgia is positive, and this feeling is the result of justice, dignity, mutual respect, and patriotism ignored by the regime of Saakashvili, Okrashvili, Adeshvili, Achalaya," end quote. We try to avoid judgment on this show, but Kareli is a belligerent blowhard rumored to be corrupt, just so you know. The Ministry of Justice has decided to allow access to Georgian legal acts for free on matsne.gov.ge. Earlier, it was available for only for authorized users, and the cost was 288 lari a year. If this happens, it would be a gigantic step forward.
That'd be great.
Yes, yes. We'll monitor that closely. Georgian Orthodox Church has declared 2013 the year of Tamar Mepe. Ilya II said that 2013 is the year scientists believe was the 800th anniversary of Queen Tamar's death. Beginning tomorrow, Georgian Airways is offering flights from Tbilisi to Batumi on Fridays as well as Saturdays. A single trip ticket on Fridays is 26 euros, while the cost on Saturday is 76.
So that's just in case it's sunny in Tbilisi, you can go find some rain in Batumi right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly. Pegasus Airlines introduced a new discount campaign until February 11th. A return ticket from Tbilisi or Batumi to Istanbul is $110 for flights between February and May. As mentioned, spring session of Parliament was open. The Parliament is set to approve the appointment of 20 Georgian ambassadors and to pass changes to the labor code and procedural legislation. The majority MP, Bidzina Gujabidze, submitted a draft law aimed at introducing a special dress code for parliament, which would require that MPs wear the national Georgian dress on certain occasions.
That would also mean that they can bring the small knives that you have. And
oh, that's just what we need.
Like, you disagree, you throw a knife.
Great,
then,
like a big old hunchal. Yeah, that's exactly what we need. Yeah,
I think they should have to do a turn first and then throw it.
Or only allow big swords. And if they really want to pick a fight, they have to do it with the heavy swords.
I mean, I don't know. Some of those MPs, I look at them, and I don't know if I really want to see those guys in chochas. You know, I mean, I'm not sure. Anyway, I don't have a chocha. I sort of need one, but certain individuals have said they'd look weird with my glasses. You know, like I think I look like Chime Takai. Really, but you know, all right. If you want up-to-date information on what's going up in Parliament, sign up for TI Georgia's free text messaging service at parliament.transparency.ge/subscribe. This week's geocapital number is -1.6%. This is the difference between the consumer price index in January 2012 and 2013. This means that Georgia is in deflationary territory when looking at a year-on-year number, proving Vano Manavishvili wrong and Bidzina right, at least as far as prices are concerned. Compared to December, prices are up slightly by 0.3%. This is still quite far from the finance minister Khaduri's inflation target of 3.5%. Compared to December, food and non-alcoholic beverages are up 2.6%, while utilities are down 4.3%, which probably accounts for it, frankly. I don't know how much utilities are in the basket, but targeting inflation is difficult for the National Bank because a large part of the economy is still dollarized, and of course the National Bank of Georgia does not control U.S. dollar. Yet.
Mark, you as a board member, are you going to get financial education as part of being part of GeoCapital?
Yeah, no. Why is that?
The reason is I've heard that deflation is actually much more difficult to control than inflation. And so it'd be interesting if anybody has any comments on that.
You can print money.
Deflation is only difficult to control when it relates to assets. But I mean that's not really the problem here. If Georgia wanted to increase the inflation rate by printing money, it could do that relatively easily. But it doesn't want to do that. It just wants to, it wants to keep the economy going and whatever else. I mean, price is falling. This is not really a particularly, big problem, but it does indicate a more modest economic growth than they would want.
Yeah, inflation is also a problem because, the interest for lending would be even higher if there was strong inflation. So then, the loan is not 15%, but
20%. Right. Our economic growth is supposed to be 6% next year.
Could be. But with deflationary numbers like that, we'll have to see unless they turn around.
We'll also see how many people continue paying taxes.
There's that. VAT. Now that the receipts don't have the little thing that Matthias loves so much and we've heard about everything.
They still have it, but you can't win money.
You can't win money.
The lottery. Yeah.
If you're looking where to spend Valentine's Day, we can give some suggestions. Event Hall will be hosting the Russian group Uma Thurman. The concert starts at 9 p.m. and tickets cost 50 lari. The Georgian band Bandarol will be performing live music, and afterwards DJ Datuna will be entertaining people in Sky Bar. Prices vary from 50 to 60 lari per person.
For seeing DJ Datuna, that's well worth
absolutely.
It, I assume.
I've never seen DJ Datuna, but I've heard he or she is fantastic. The bar, restaurant Senate, restaurant Cruise, Club Kalakuri, and Dublin Pub are also having events. Rustaveli Theater is inviting people to see the play Hamlet in Georgian at 7 p.m. because that's exactly what will put you in the mood for Valentine's Day. Tickets are priced 6 lari. For those who like art, exhibitions will be held at the Lado Gudiashvili Exhibition Lado Gudiashvili Exhibition Hall. Hall is open from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website at www.tbilpod.com. We'll finish with Bobby Blue Bland, Ain't No Love in the Heart of the City, from 1974.
Ain't no love in the heart of town. that.